Hello everyone, and thank you for joining today's conference call. I'm Elizabeth Kerr with Business Forward, and I'll be moderating our conversation today. Currently, all lines are in listen-only mode. We're pleased to welcome Mark Walsh, who is the Associate Administrator of Investment and Innovation at the United States Small Business Administration. He's here to talk about how small businesses like yours can gain access to capital through private investment and SBA programs. For those of you who are new to Business Forward, we organize local roundtables, Washington fly-ins, conference calls, webinars, and media trainings for tens of thousands of business leaders from across America. At these briefings, entrepreneurs, investors, small business owners, and executives get the chance to brief policymakers on issues that affect their business's bottom line, and they talk about how to create jobs and how Washington can work with businesses to accelerate the economy. We work with more than 450 senior administration officials and members of Congress, mayors, and governors, and this is all thanks to the support of more than 50 of America's largest and most respected companies. Before we get started with the Associate Administrator, we need to cover a few housekeeping items. First, this call is on the record and we will provide a recording. Also, note reporters may be on the line. Second, there will be time for you to ask questions and share your advice, and you can do this in one of two ways. First, you can just simply press 1 on your telephone keypad at any time, or you can email us at info@businessfwd.org. Again, if you'd like to ask a question live, just press 1 on your phone and you'll be entered into the queue, or if you prefer, you can send that information to info@businessfwd.org, and I will read that question aloud for you. When we call on you to ask a question or when you email us your question, please be sure to introduce us to you with your name and your business and where you're calling from. So with that, let's get started. Please welcome Associate Administrator Mark Walsh.
Thanks so much, Liz. It's great to be with you all. This is Mark Walsh. I am joined here in my spacious government office by two colleagues, Sam Boyd, who's my colleague that's in charge of outreach and implementation, really, and communications with our SBIC program, which I'll touch on in just a moment, and Nate Johannes, who's a senior advisor to this Office of Investment and Innovation. Also, I want to remind everybody, if you don't know, that I'm relatively new to this job and, in fact, new to government. I joined the government about 4.5-5 months ago. I'd spent my entire career in the private sector. So a lot of things that I needed to learn about the government, I am learning. And I hopefully can ask that the listeners and participants give me a little bit of leeway in case I say something that is galactically wrong, since I'm still learning a lot about the United States government, but also in some ways about our programs, which are both simple and in some ways also complex. So let's get right to the meat of the matter. The Office of Investment and Innovation at the Small Business Administration manages a significant, several significant buckets of money each year from your tax dollars. But before I tell you what the buckets are, we are a zero subsidy program. And what that means is that none of your tax dollars go to support us. We are completely self-supporting by the fees we charge the investment funds and others that are our clients. So zero subsidy means that your tax dollars are not being wasted or spent. In fact, we actually make money for the United States government. So that's an important thing to remember. But we have three major programs here that really help small businesses and startups. The first is called SBIC, stands for Small Business Investment Corporation, Small Business Investment Company. Started many, many decades ago, and by the way, the SBA was started by President Dwight Eisenhower in 1953. The SBIC program is basically a fund of funds. We take about $4 billion a year. We're authorized to give out $4 billion a year in debt leverage to professionally managed venture capital, private equity, business development, or bank-run funds. So if Sam and Nate ran a $75 million private equity fund, where they'd raised $75 million in private equity, and they came to our SBIC OII, by the way, I've got to use acronyms because it's the government, and they applied for an SBIC license and were granted one, the SBIC office that we're part of would give that fund another $150 million. So it's 2-to-1 leverage, $2 for every dollar that the fund manager has raised privately, $2 in debt leverage. And when I say debt, I mean debt. It's about 3.8% interest debt over 10 years with no prepayment penalty. So for that $150 million that this mythical private equity fund that Nate and Sam created has access to, they draw down that $150 million as they need to for investments that they are making over the first 5 years of the fund, and they have 10 years to pay it back, the interest and principal. So it's very, very affordable, some say cheap, debt leverage provided by the United States government through our office to professionally run venture, private equity, bank, a business development corporation, or bank-owned funds. We have not handed out all $4 billion over the last 4 years. We typically average around $2.5 to $2.7 billion in debt leverage. We've issued about 305 active 305 licenses to those professionally run entities, but only about 225 or so are active at this time, i.e. pulling down funds and making direct investments. Some of our licenses take no debt leverage, like Morgan Stanley is a license holder. Last time I checked, and I say this respectfully and with a big smile on my face, Morgan Stanley does not need money. They have enough. But they use the license as a validator for the fact that they're professionally run and looking for small businesses to invest in. The funds that we license invest in American small businesses. We define that as over 51% of the employees are here in the U.S. We do not allow you to invest in financial services institutions or, you know, marijuana plants in Colorado, stuff like that. But pretty much other than that, it's a very, very broad swath of small businesses you can invest in. Over the years, the SBIC program has gotten billions and billions of dollars out through professional managers, and those dollars have been invested in thousands upon thousands upon thousands of domestic small businesses. Some of the small businesses that have gotten SBIC debt that we're very proud of include folks like Apple, America Online, Under Armour, Amgen, Intel, Quiznos, FedEx, Costco, a wide variety of others have gotten dollars from the Small Business Administration, many through our SBIC program. Pardon me. The second program we have is called SBIR. Wow. I'm having a frog. Excuse me. Just for branding, that's Arizona iced tea that made me feel a little bit better. SBIR stands for Small Business Innovation Research. For the record, the United States government is not a very good brander, so our two programs, SBIC and SBIR, are examples of it. SBIR is an annual $2.5 billion program where we have set aside of 3% of the research budget of the other 12 major government agencies, so defense, agriculture, energy, HHS, education, etc. They take their research budget and allocate a little over 3% for us to help find solutions to their problems. So if you go to sbir.gov, you'll see effectively a listing of RFPs and RFQs and needs by the other major agencies of the federal government. Like a dating service, we match startups, innovative entrepreneurs, labs, bench chemists at major universities, whatever, who are creating technologies, services, software, or products to physically solve those problems. So if Nate or Sam worked at the Defense Department and they concluded that they needed a new way to weave Kevlar into a better bulletproof vest for our men and women in harm's way, they would put that need up on SBIR.gov. A research chemist at the University of Michigan who had just figured out that if you heat Kevlar to over 250 degrees Fahrenheit, it starts to weave in a tighter and tighter fabric that is more resistant to a bullet impact, that individual can apply for an SBIR grant. Phase one grant is about $150,000 to $200,000, and these are cash grants. There is no debt leverage, no interest charged. If that individual, that startup entrepreneur, could prove that his technology works, he goes to phase two. Phase two is typically between $1.5 to $2 million. Phase two is where the entrepreneur shows that he or she can scale this technology, can make a lot of it, and can commercialize it. Phase three is when we introduce that entrepreneur to their customer, so to speak, in this case, the Department of Defense. So we're a matching, dating, and technology encouragement and investment service with cash grants in SBIR to startups or ongoing companies who solve a specific problem that the United States government has listed. The third and last program that I'll detail for you before we get into Q&A, and Nate and Sam and I hopefully answer your questions, is our Accelerator and Incubator Contest. Now in its third year, we hand out $50,000 in prize money, no strings attached, to accelerators or incubators that apply to our contest and judged to be a winner by our outside team of judges. We ask for each accelerator and incubator to provide us a video about what they do, some details on their strategic plan, some details on the types of companies they recruit into their accelerator, some outcomes that they've had in the last few years. We get about 600 to 800 applications each year, and we typically award between 60 to 90 cash prize award winners. So this year we expect to have about 80 to 90 winners, each one getting $50,000. Those accelerators and incubators use that money to grow their programs, to invite, entice, and engage more companies and startups into their program, and hopefully have more and more positive outcomes generating small businesses and jobs for the American economy. SBIC, SBIR, and Accelerator Incubator Contest, those are the three major programs we run here at the Office of Investment and Innovation. It's $6.5 billion a year as our overall budget, $4 billion in SBICs, $2.5 billion in SBIRs, and another few million in our Accelerator Incubator Contests. But Nate, Sam, and myself are really excited about the impact we've had through our fund-to-funds of SBICs, through our direct cash investments and grants through SBIRs, and through our accelerator fees and accelerator cash prizes to the next generation of startups that are in the accelerators and incubators that we judge as prize winners in our contest. With that, I'll stop talking and let the team at Business Forward, a team we think very, very highly of for setting this up, get the Q&A started, and hopefully we can answer your questions and get you excited about our programs.
Great. Thank you for all of that. Our first question comes from Scott Brewer. Scott, your line should be open. Go ahead and ask your question, and don't forget to tell us where you're calling from.
Okay. I'm calling from Toledo, Ohio. Great SBIR program. Our company in Toledo, Ohio was a recipient of your award, and years ago I met Roland Tibbetts, who started the SBIR program back in the 70s and early 80s. My question has to do with SBA loan guarantees. I know it's not quite your area, but I've been working on a business acquisition, working with some banks, and it seems like none of the banks really want to provide any funding without SBA loan guarantees when it comes to a business acquisition. And I was wondering if you could maybe give a little overview of about the SBA loan guarantee program, realizing it's not your particular area, but you might have some insight. Thank you very much.
Sure, Scott, and thanks for your question. And boy, anybody that that met Roland Tibbetts is special in our world. He's really, we actually, as you know, hand out an annual Tibbetts Award for the SBIR, an innovation company that most represents the audacity and the boldness of Mr. Tibbetts many years ago to get his SBIR started. So the program you're probably referencing is called 7A, and again, I return to the fact that we're not very good branders here in the United States government. The 7A program does guarantee a bank loan to a small business. Typically, we guarantee about 85% of the loan, and like any bank loan guarantee programs, it's designed to let banks in your district or in your town take a higher level of risk than they would normally be particularly comfortable with. So the 7A program, which is run, to your point, Scott, by a different team here at SBA, hands out, geez, I guess last year was $27 billion in loan guarantees. It is also zero subsidy and does a wonderful job in finding local banks to do that. If you go to SBA.gov, G-O-V, and poke around on our Uber website, so to speak, the overall website, you'll start to see more and more information about our 7A program and how you can possibly get involved. Nate has some more data.
Nate Johannes here, and one thing that we've been trying and working actively hard here in the agency is to make the streamlining process of receiving a loan quicker and faster. So we've created SBA Link, L-I-N-C, where essentially a small business can fill out a relatively short a form. Well, there's nothing short in the government, but relatively is a key word. Form. We essentially match you with banks that would be the right appropriate fit for you to receive a loan. And so that's one thing that we're trying to work diligently hard at, is to make the loan process quicker, as well as more tech-friendly here in the agency.
Great, thanks. And we'll, Mark didn't mention earlier, but we will send out after this a slide deck to go over some of these programs for everyone. Just as a reminder, if you'd like, we do have kind of a queue lined up here, but if you'd like to ask a question, don't forget to push 1 on your phone, or you can email that question to info@businessfwd.org. Our next question comes from Judy Jones. Judy, your line is open. Okay, we can, Judy, if you'd like to ask a question, just press 1 again. It sounds like we're having a little difficulty there. Our next question comes from Laura Dawson. Laura, your line should be open now.
Hello, this is Laura Dawson. I'm in North Carolina, and our company is Food Physics and Body Dynamics. And we have a project that we're starting, and it's going to involve solar and wind power well pumping. And it's a functional property that we're going to demonstrate how it can be done in rural houses, farming, et cetera, throughout the United States. That's a long-term phase three aspect. There's a grant that I've been preparing for that is the USDA NIFA SBIR grant. There's some acronyms for you gentlemen. What I'm concerned about mostly is the fact that my company needs to be able to qualify for this. And thus far, it appears that I do, and I've been in conversation with the leaders on this grant. And I just want to confirm if there's anything that we can do to prepare.
So I don't know the details, Laura, of your application. And I guess to be really just straight up about it, I think on this phone call with hundreds of people on it, I won't get into details. All I can suggest is if you do not have anybody in my organization that is able to answer your question yet, you are more than happy to contact me directly. And everybody in this call, my email address is my name. That's mark.walsh, mark.walsh@sba.gov. So, Laura, if you are unclear or you're not getting an answer to your question, as I understood it, on you made in this phone call, please feel free to email me directly, and I will find somebody to answer it for you.
Thanks, and we'll provide contact info for SBA in the follow-up email as well. Our next question comes from Chandra Pillai. Chandra, your line should be open.
Hey, thank you. We have a company here we just started, and we had a grant from North Coast. I'm from, calling from Cleveland, Ohio. That is called North Coast Innovation Fund. They gave us $110,000 to do some research work. And even before that, we came up with technology to take old tires and devulcanize. We call the term devulcanize in rubber, and then put it back into roads, into asphalt, and then make build roads. This can replace synthetic rubber called SBS, and that is made from petroleum. So we had done some test roads in Ohio near Columbus, Ohio, and we did one more in South Carolina. It's all going very well. And now we have to commercialize. There is demand for this product. Department of Transport DOTs in Florida, Ohio, South Carolina, Nevada, and California have approved this. Now we are at the second stage of commercializing this. How do I apply for that $1.5 to $2 million for commercialization under SBIR?
So probably the best way to learn structurally how to take your program to the next level is to go to sbir.gov. That's SB as in boy, I as in Indian, R as in Romeo.gov, G-O-V. And that website is, we're actually pretty proud about how usable it is and user-friendly it is versus, and again, I say this respectfully to our colleagues in the U.S. government versus others. I won't say IRS, but occasionally they take some heat. But sbir.gov is a way that you, Chandra, can learn more about how to get from the phase you're in to the next phase where the funding is more significant. I wish you well, because it's great to hear that there seems to be a pretty good use for those old tires. Thank you.
Thanks. Our next question comes from Kevin Bulger. And a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, just press 1 on your keypad. Kelvin, your line is open. Please let us know where you're calling from and go ahead and ask your question.
Sure. Kelvin Bulger calling from Chicago, Illinois. KCB and Associates, we are a business consulting firm for small business owners. And I have a question specifically directed to the SBIC program. I understand that there are like sub-programs under there, but my concern is this. One of the categories of professional managers, it requires that you have professional management experience. Now, how do you get that, especially for new and emerging fund managers, if you haven't had any experience? So that puts, yeah.
Yeah, hi, Kevin, this is Sam Boyd. Thanks for your question. Really appreciate it. As Mark mentioned, the SBIC program is a fund of funds, and so what we're trying to do is identify funds, if you will.
Sam, could you get a little closer to the phone? You're a little hard to hear.
Okay, is this better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, all right. So I was saying that, as Mark mentioned earlier, the SBIC program is a fund of funds, and so our mandate is to find qualified funds to invest in, who then in turn invest in small businesses. And so, Kevin, if you're asking how do you get to be a qualified fund, then the typical profile of our fund are investors who have a background of putting current income securities to work. So current income like a mezzanine product or a debt product or a sub-debt. And they typically have garnered that experience from, you know, either, you know, they're spinning out from another shop, right? They were investors at another private equity shop or mezzanine shop. And those could range from, you know, smaller firms to, you know, some of the name brand bulge bracket firms. And then a lot of times folks would do that and put together a team and come to us. And we have a saying that we really love to see first-time teams, but not first-time investors. So, yes, we do expect you to have experience, and typically that experience is gotten in the way of working at prior firms.
Thanks. We're going to go to an emailed question now. Carlos Lemos from Ambient Technologies in Florida is asking, what does SBA offer related to loan guarantees for exporting services?
There's an element of our organization called the Office of International Trade, OIT. Again, those three-letter acronyms that I apologize for, but they are pretty prevalent here in the USG or U.S. government. I had to sneak one more in there. Office of International Trade, OIT, and it's if you go to SBA.gov, I know I sound a little bit like a broken record here, and you search on OIT, you'll see the head of it and learn more about her role and how they can get export and international commerce advice and potential funding for companies that want to do that.
And over the past, you know, several months, as you know, there's been several trade agreements with the administration to do business with countries overseas. And as the agency that is the voice of the American small business community, our administrator, the head of the agency who is on the president's cabinet, has been doing tons of international travel to promote American businesses. In fact, today she's in Argentina being the voice of the American small business community. So if you go to the Office of International Trade site, and Liz can share our contact, and we're happy to connect with folks in there, but we do have a robust department that does focus on pushing products overseas.
Thanks for that. And, yeah, as Nate mentioned, we have done a good amount of work on trade here at Business Forward as well. So if you have any further questions about that or how you can get involved, just reply to the follow-up email that we send out, and we can get you some more materials. With that, we're going to move on to another live question. Jessica Sullivan is our next person. Your line should be open.
Yes, thank you. Hi, Jessica Sullivan here from Seattle, Washington. And my question is two-part. One, a very specific sort of content question regarding Program 3, Accelerators and Incubators. I've recently been involved with the SURF Incubator and learned about them and the whole in the incubator movement. In terms of the video and some of the components entailed in the video, the SURF Incubator, for instance, would hackathons be part of what you would want to know about some of the, as well as the businesses that are involved and that they're supporting? Would you also want to know, for instance, things like they just hosted a Space Apps hackathon? And then my second question is more about examples. If you could give some examples, has there been anyone in Seattle, Washington, any incubators that have participated in Program 3 as well as Program 2, universities, you mentioned labs and startups and matching with the SBIR program. Thank you.
Sure. You know, I think just from a 10,000-foot perspective, and we're happy later on, Jessica, to reach out to you with the individual in our team that runs the Accelerator Incubator Contest. His name is Nareg Sagarian. I don't think we look at hackathons in a standalone fashion as potential applicants. If the incubator or the accelerator routinely runs hackathons on their site as part of their menu of services and part of their output, that's a separate thing. But a standalone hackathon is typically not engaged. And the video, Nareg can brief in the video. Our contest starts soon, so hopefully you'll see this on the Business Forward website on who to specifically contact on the incubator. And I'll let Nate chime in on the locale. But yes, in around the Seattle area, in fact, all across the state of Washington, actually, frankly, across all of virtually all of the states of America, we have both SBIC, SBIR, and accelerator dollars.
And sometime last year, because during the our SBIR program, we have a road tour, literally a bus that travels the country, hitting the bottom states that haven't received SBIR grant dollars. And we had a chance to host an event in Seattle, Washington, and we met with the folks at the University of Washington here, and after UW, their accelerator, and we're a big support of it. And I know that their organization called TechStars. We met with a guy named Chris DeVore from TechStars, who's in Seattle, Washington, at the University of Washington's Accelerator Incubator Lab we connected to. And not too long ago, we met with a representative from the governor's office of the state of Seattle, or the state of Washington, to talk about how to channel more of our innovation dollars to your wonderful state. So we're happy to connect you with her, as well as connect you with the people from the accelerator community here in the agency.
Thank you, and we've got time for two or three more questions, so if you're still on the queue, please do stay on the line. Our next question comes from Dilip Nigam. Dilip, your line should be open. Go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. My question is, as a company that's trying to raise, let's say, $2 million to expand our vertical axis wind turbine that we bring to market, I understand the SBIC, Mark, you're actually funding the venture capitalists or the private equity companies. But how do we get funding through that? I guess, do you have a list of those companies that you have funded that we would then contact and say, help, we need to raise that $2 million. So how would a company like us obtain the funding through the SBIC, since we are the end user, so to speak?
And before we go over to that, where are you calling from?
Oh, we're from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Ann Arbor. Del, thank you for your question. Yes, actually, so on our website, we house all the funds who receive capital from us, and we're in the process of overhauling that and making that a much more user-friendly experience. And so if you have a question about anything that you find on sba.gov/SBIC, please let us know. But just a little more to your question in terms of how our process works. And so once we made our fund-to-fund investment into a fund, then, as you can imagine, we don't dictate where they should invest. Part of the, their winning our investment, if you will, is convincing us that they have a strategy of selection. And so we leave that up to them. We do monitor, make sure that they do invest in small businesses, that their strategy is consistent. They have to file reports on a regular basis, but we don't dictate to them. So what we do is publish who they are and where they are and what their basic strategy is. And again, if you can't find that on our site, if you have any problems, just please contact us directly, and we'll be more than happy to let you know who they are. So what we do is we organize them by state. So what we do. And so of the 305 that we have dispersed throughout the country, we do have the basic information. So if you would like to reach out to them, by all means, you can do that.
Thanks. And as we still do have time for a few more questions here, as a reminder, please let us know where you're calling from and tell us the name of your business. Our next question comes from Jamie Carpenter. Jamie, your line should be live. Go ahead.
Hi. So I live in Binghamton, New York. I am trying to open an indoor rock climbing gym. There's kind of a need in our area. I personally am a single mom with two little kids, but I have a pre-law degree. I'm going to school for business. Trying not to yawn, up all night with little kids. I'm trying to prove my kind of like sweat equity to get people to invest in me because I don't have a lot of personal equity. Is there things that I can do to make myself more equitable to investors?
So these are the questions of the universe, Jamie. and maybe this is, I know we have time. We're happy to answer any questions you guys have. I don't know if myself or Nate or Sam are going to have the magic answer for you. I have spent, as I mentioned at the beginning of the call, I've spent all of my career in the private sector, many of those years in venture capital and angel investing, trying to find the motivated entrepreneur who wants to put sweat equity into an effort that has a very good chance of success. I have never done a rock climbing investment, but I know that people use it, so I wish you luck on that. I think that what you're going to find is probably what you're already seeing up there in Binghamton, which is that investors of any type, be it a small venture capital firm up there or an angel set of angel investors that you may have access to, or even as with the prior caller was talking about, getting access to an SBIC that we've given some, the SBIC fund that we've given some funding to, and searching for the upper state New York area for one that you might go see face to face, it's going to end up whether the investor believes that your sweat equity is going to make an impact. And I know this is old hat to many on the call who've seen venture investing happen, but venture investors and angel investors almost always bet on the person. Rock climbing, a rock climbing wall is a proven entity. There are many around the U.S. It has X number of customers generating Y number of dollars. We can do business plans all day on that. But what you probably are finding is that your personal confidence, your commitment to the project, your ability to juggle being a single mom and wanting to make this happen, your vision, that kind of enthusiasm and energy has to come across the table to the angel investor, or he or she will not be able to write that check. It sounds like you believe in it. And you want to make it happen. And as Sam just reminded me, if you haven't seen the movie Joy, about the woman who had the mop on Home Shopping Network and QVC, please rent the video or stream it on Netflix. It is inspirational. Just as an aside, I actually used to do business with HSN and QVC back in another part of my life, and I've actually been on those sets that Joy has been on, and I know exactly what it's like when she was doing the movie. It made me giggle that I actually saw a Hollywood rendition of it. But Joy is an example of somebody, a single mom with a couple of kids who chased it hard and obviously succeeded. Life is never that fair. But I would just encourage you to maybe mimic some of the things you may see in Joy or some of that passion and commitment that you've expressed in this phone call. But good luck.
Thanks for that. Our next question comes from Sanjiv Lal. Sanjiv, your line is open.
Hi, I'm Sanjiv. I'm based in New Jersey, Jersey City, and I'm in the healthcare tech space, startup. And I want to know, is there somebody, because the healthcare thing is so huge and monstrous, is there somebody on your team that can help me navigate and the thing that I'd be most interested in that I think would make most sense is the SBIR phase one grant to start out with, and then eventually hopefully evolve to being able to do something with CMS.
Sure. And you're right, Sanjiv. It's a huge, huge market. Many ways to attack it and profit from it and improve it. Certainly, you need look no farther than Washington D.C., where the three of us sit, to see concern and desire to improve the outcomes and the efficiency of the healthcare market. Now, we have a colleague here, Nagesh Rao. That's N-A-G-E-S-H, N-A-G-E-S-H dot Rao, R-A-O. He really is in charge of the innovation element of our SBIR program. I feel like I'm throwing him under the bus because he may get a lot of responses from this call, but he is the true version of Energizer Bunny. Nagesh has spent a lot of time in the healthcare tech or health tech arena, and we do have a lot of SBIR grant recipients in healthcare, both through our partnership with HHS, and a wide variety of other partners, including DOD, which the Department of Defense, as you might imagine, is incredibly interested in having their workforce, so to speak, our men and women in uniform, healthy and remaining healthy. So the Nagesh Rao is probably your first rung of the knowledge ladder here to figure out how your healthcare tech entity might be worthy of or might conclude it makes sense to apply for an SBIR grant. Thank you.
Sanjiv, thanks for that, and I'll just note for you and everyone on the call, we do have a conference call coming up with HHS, which will be Monday, May 4th, so you can watch your email for that invitation as well. Our next question comes from Kimberly Edmonds. Kimberly, your line is open.
Greetings. This is Kimberly. I have Joy. I watched the show, the movie Joy, so I can relate to the connection there to being at this time and having this phone call. I am very excited. I'm calling from Charlotte, North Carolina, and we have a nonprofit organization, Noble Community Foundation, which offers students the opportunity to learn how to compete from a global perspective, learning all things media, pre and post production, the business side of everything. We successfully were able to launch our programs last year, and we're building now on with more students, but with a technology partnership that we were able to, a Blue Diamond technology partnership, with the focus to scale and measure what's taking place with art, media, and the humanities. So I'm really excited to hear about the SBIR program. We have strategic partnership alliances that are positioned along with the African and the Caribbean International Chamber of Commerce. So I'm looking forward to taking advantage of this. And this may not have been a question, but more so just me exuding the fact that I have a lot of gratitude for this phone call, because I believe we are ready to accelerate and position ourselves to take advantage of what you do have to offer. And I'm excited to hear about this.
That's great. We're excited, too. SBIR is an awesome program and is definitely impacting a lot of lives. So we're as enthusiastic as you, and thank you.
Thanks for that, Kimberly. Our next question comes from James Bellamy. James, your line is open.
Yes, I'm from Palatka, Florida. I have a company, Convergent Energy System, which installs green flow systems. And what it does is, well, I've got a question after this. It's, we go in commercial buildings anywhere from 21 kilowatt demand all the way up to 400 kilowatt demand, and we knock the power bill down 30 to 40%. And I'm just trying to understand which loan, the SBIC or the SBIR, which way do we need to go? Because we are putting in jobs, but we need a little bit of funds to help us get further down the road, to put more people to work, and also help the consumers out in this country. Which one do I go to?
Thank you, Jim. Probably 7A, and I apologize if the alphabet soup that you've heard this afternoon or morning for some of you is confusing. So SBICs would not be, you know, you may approach, as was asked earlier, you can find the list of SBIC funds that we've partnered with, but you wouldn't have to approach them directly. SBIRs, your technology may be, or your startup technology and product may be applicable, but it sounds like you're much more in the zone of the 7A loans. So SBA.gov, SBA.gov, if you search on 7A loans, that's the kind of small business loan where a local bank is backed up by our funds and would conclude a loan to you to grow your green flow energy process. So hopefully you save more and more power down there in Florida. Thank you.
Thanks. And this will probably be our last question. This comes from Ahmad Aziz. Ahmad, before we open up your line, I just want to flag for everyone that if we didn't get to your question today and you had pressed 1, please email that to us, and we will make sure that you get back from SBA. So Ahmad, go ahead.
Hello, this is Imad from Brisk Business. We're a project management company based in New York, and we operate across the United States, as well as Western Europe, the Middle East, and Central Africa. While we are able to maintain a certain level of business, one of the biggest struggles we have is that we need access to capital so we can expand our operation and expand our consulting practice, either by hiring more consultants who have specific certification levels and degrees, or by promoting our services both inside the U.S. and internationally. Is there a specific fund that we could apply to? Thank you.
I'm sorry, say again the last part of your question. I mean,
Which fund would apply to us for doing that?
So I think I'm going to fail you here in our last question with the audience. And again, Nate and Sam and I and our colleagues that I've named all stand ready for those in the queue or those of you with email questions or even Amit, if I'm saying your name right, to follow up with us. So I hope that I don't end our conversation with a bit of a vanilla answer that sounds kind of government-y, but without knowing the details of your services, your price points, and some of your customers, and the level of domestic customers versus international customers, I'm not sure I can answer specifically. I do know that the Small Business Administration, when it does its loan programs, does does insist that, you know, 51% of your employees be domestic, that the majority of your business be domestic, although you're certainly welcome to sell your services around the world. In fact, we encourage it, as was mentioned before, but it is a, you know, this is the United States Small Business Administration. That being said, I'm not sure if I can give you a specific version of the loans we've talked about today. I will say this, as was mentioned a couple of times during our conversation, the SBIC program that Sam Boyd spends most of his time, as do I, thinking about, we are a fund of funds, so we are not a direct investor. We are giving money to professional investors, and those men or women discover companies and they invest directly in them. So we are, once again, one level away as a fund of fund managers. SBIR, which are cash grants, typically are startups that have a direct link to a problem that another organization in the government has, be it agriculture, energy, education, et cetera. So I say problem opportunity. They need something, and the SBIR program matches that need with a supply. So I'm not sure if I heard something that you and your company would be a direct match need to a specific ask or function that the Department of Defense or agriculture or whatever needed. So then I get to the last one, which is really the 7A loan that we mentioned a couple of times today, which is not under our purview, but easy to discover more about on SBA.gov. The 7A loan may sound like something that makes sense for you because there you're going to a local bank in the New York area. I guess you're in New York or New York City, whatever, going to a local bank, and the 7A program lets that bank loan you the money, and the SBA is backing the bank loan, so the bank can take a more of a risk in a company that it might not have, you know, as a customer, or might not have a direct relationship with. So I would argue, from what we've talked about here, that 7A, the 7A loan program, is probably best for you. I don't mean to steal thunder from our folks, from our colleagues and partners at Business Forward, but before we wrap up, I just want to say that Nate and Sam and I have really, Mark Walsh, have really enjoyed our time. I'm really excited how many signups there were. It's been great to hear your questions and your comments, your enthusiasm, your joy, your passion, and your commitment to growing small businesses in America. And we certainly hope that in whatever fashion can work out, that you think about us as a partner and pursue some of our programs. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Mark and Sam and Nate, for your time today. This was a really great discussion, and especially thank you to everybody on the call today for your time. We know you have businesses to run, so we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to join our programming. With that, I'll just note, in addition to the HHS call I mentioned next week, we have a call with Hillary for America and their small business advisors tomorrow. And then at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning, we have a call on GDP with the chief economist at Commerce and another private sector economist to talk about what those results and what they might mean for your economic forecasting. So please check your email for that, and also we will send out a follow-up email with a lot of the resources we talked about today, as well as a post-event survey. And we always really appreciate your feedback on that, as well as I mentioned, we're happy to help you with any follow-up or to get any questions answered that we didn't get to today. So thank you, Associate Administrator Walsh, Nate, and Sam, and everybody. We hope you have a good afternoon.